The war was lost, the treaty signed, I was not cut across the line, I was not cut, though many tried, I live among you, well disguised.
Sometimes that is better. The person you put up there ain't the person that comes back.
It's that song to get down with. About 6 feet under. Get down.
Ooh, I love this song.
Now we come to the thrilling final episode of our radio drama.
Hello and welcome everyone to episode 2 of Rotten Reviews. This is your host Brian, and today we're going to be discussing Killer Clowns from Outer Space. It's from 1988, is qualified as a sci-fi horror. It has a 78% on Rotten Tomatoes and 6.2 out of 10 on IMDb. So a little rundown of the movie. Killer Clowns from Outer Space. I know I just repeat the title again, but that's really what it is. It's just killer clowns from outer space that keep humans in cotton candy cocoons so they can use giant straws to suck the blood out of them, and they use popcorn guns and other random things. But yeah, it's different, that's for sure. But first, before we get started, well, let's do a little bit of history on this recording of May 9th in TV and movie history. Back in 1958, Vertigo, American film noir psychological thriller directed by Alfred Hitchcock, was released. And then also on May 9th, we have Friday the 13th Part 1 came out. So two different movies, two different styles, but two great movies in their own rights. Let's get into some fun facts about this movie. I'm going to pronounce her name wrong, but the Chiodo brothers are the main creative minds behind this movie. They are the writers, producer, and directors. I believe they create their own Chiodo Brothers Productions Company back in 1982. They also worked on Large Marge, the claymation from Pee-wee's Big Adventure, and they also did the Monster Effects in Critters, that from 1986, which is a horror comedy, which we will be discussing on this podcast at some point. It won't be right now, but we will be. Another thing that, upon looking this movie up, the clown designs, the molds were, or the props in general, might not be in the molds, might just be the props in general. A couple of these clowns were reused as characters in Ernest Scared Stupid, which I've actually, upon watching the movie a couple times again, I can definitely tell which characters they are. They're definitely at the end of the movie, and I believe the treehouse scene up top when Ernest is running around. I'm pretty sure they're in that scene. And I'm sure they're in other scenes of the movie, but that's besides the point. So let's grab a beverage, grab some popcorn, sit down and enjoy this. I'm going to try a different format for this one. It's going to be kind of like a watch-along. I'm going to have the movie playing on silent in the background. That way I got my notes in front of me, I got everything else in front of me, but I can also see the movie playing at the same time I'm discussing this. So we'll see how that goes. So, this movie is set in a little town. It's definitely infested, let's say, with college students. It's like the main college town to go to, because it just starts out with you know, a bunch of kids on the streets. You got a kid who's carrying two big bags full of just beer. And then we first see our police officer, Mooney. And he hates young kids. There's no doubt about that whatsoever. It also starts off with a really good theme song created by the Dickies, I believe it is. A punk rock band. So, definitely very cool. We are at Makeout Point in the movie. It's called Top of the World. Not really that original of a name, but it is what it is. There's a few different locations in this movie. We got the Big Top Burgers, we got the police station, we got Top of the World, and then we have the clowns circus tent base. So let's see here. Just want to try and keep track with the movie, so I'm not sure how this is gonna work, because I can definitely talk a lot faster than the movie goes. So I might focus on my notes a little bit more than focusing on the actual movie, but we'll also have all this filler in as well. And then I'm going to definitely insert some audio clips and whatnot. In the movie, when the scene is with the kid with the two bags full of beer, we also see a display of Goodwill for all you thrift shoppers out there, which Goodwill's not a thing anymore. Might be in the States, but it's definitely not here in Canada. So from there, we're definitely, like I said, we're at Top of the World. I'm not sure why it has that name other than it is a little bit of a cliffside, but it doesn't really seem that higher than anything else. We got a bunch of kids making out, and then we have Jojo, the ice cream clown truck, show up. So it's your typical, you know, ice cream truck. It's got a big giant circle clan hat on top, and it is drove by the Terenzi brothers. And I'm gonna insert a clip here, but they have they're using the loudspeaker, and the one brother says a line along the lines, "A tasty treat for while you screw." They thought going up to the Top of the World would get more business for them, but really it pissed everyone off. They start throwing their beer cans at them. They're just wrecking the moment because everyone's just trying to get laid. And there's a lot of unhappy customers, and they don't get a single sale. Also at this scene, we have, when they show up, there's also two girls that pop out of the back of the ice cream truck because they were lured into the truck because they were told they could have unlimited amount of ice cream. So yes, these girls are a little bit more on the curvy side of things. But yeah, they're just there for the free ice cream. And then the brothers suggest, "Oh, well, we park." And that doesn't go over too well. But of course, the girls aren't happy because they don't want to park with these guys. So they get pissed off, and not really pissed off, they're kind of bummed out, and then they drive away. Then we have a scene of our main two characters, Debbie and I believe it's Mike, laying in the back of an SUV, which has a blow-up boat in the back of it, which they're laying in, which is just kind of weird. They're laying it watching the sky. Debbie's not too impressed that Mike is friends with the Terenzi brothers because they're like the town goofs. Then they start, you know, because it's Makeout Point, start making out. Then we see a comet flying through the sky, which is not really a comet. It's the killer clowns from space coming through the sky. They're very curious about what it is, so they want to go check it out. But before that, we have this hillbilly farmer, which I don't even think he has a real name at all. He sees it, and he gets all excited, and he wants to go dig it up because he thinks it's going to be make him rich and famous. This scene, he has a dog. I don't know why, but his dog's name is Pooh Bear. I really don't know. Some of the names in this are very different. A Dog Named Pooh Bear, a makeout point called Top of the World. It just seems a little less on the creative side. Don't get me wrong, though. I do love this movie. And I think it's great. It's cheesy as hell, but I think it's a lot of fun to watch, for sure. So Debbie and Mike, they want to go see where the comet lands. But the farmer makes it to the location first. But instead of it being a comet, it's a big circus tent. The farmer's even more excited now because he just loves circuses. He's so excited to go to it, and he's hoping that if he can get to the gate, he can get free passes in, because that's how much he loves to go to the circus. Avoid the fact that it's rambling in the middle of the woods. No big deal. It's just in the middle of the woods. That doesn't have killer clowns written all over it at all. He's looking around for the front, where he can find the ticket booth, but he can't find it at all. This is a fun scene, because while he's walking around, he's walking beside the tent. You can see a shadow up on the tent wall. You can, I think it's a kind of cartoony, like maybe it's a shadow going up in the tent, but it wouldn't, just because of the lighting is. It's actually the shadow of one of the clowns tippy-toeing behind him, following him. That's at the point where the clown then opens up a hole in the tent and snatches Pooh Bear, the dog. Farmer's, of course, all upset and annoyed by this. He gets so pissed off that he punches the tent, but the tent's not made of cloth. It's made of, like, solid steel, you know, indestructible metal. Where he starts to yell, "Where's my Pooh Bear? I'll tear down this thing with my bare hands." We'll probably insert a clip there because it'll sound better with him saying it than me saying it, but, you know, you get the double effect there.
"Something funny is happening around here. What in tarnation's going on here? Where's my dog? Where's my Pooh Bear? I'll tear this thing apart with my bare hands!" "This thing is wired!"
Then he goes to grab one of the support wires that's holding the tent into the ground. It's pretty much electric wire, because he gets shocked and gets knocked down on the ground, and his hand, you know, trying to get feeling back into his hands. That's when we then have the clown come out and shoots him with a ray gun. Then the farmer's, you know, there's nothing left to him. So we are now at the police station. Two guys are getting arrested for walking in the park. We then see more of Mooney and his thoughts on the younger people in this town. He blames them for wrecking the town. He blames the town for being, you know, an unhappy place because of all these young college kids living in it. He makes a comment about the younger officer, Officer Dave, who actually outranks him in the police officer rankings. I'm not sure the actual rankings, which one's which, but he makes a comment because I guess police officer Dave went to college to become a police officer, where it sounds like Mooney just, you know, walked into town and he got the job for, you know, being himself. I'm not sure how that works out, but that's how it sounds. We then have, let's see, we are back with Debbie and Mike at this point, because they reached the end of the road. They can't go any further. They're trying to get to where the comet was, or the shooting star. Mike's, you know, the Joker. He gets on top of the, you know, hood of the SUV and acts like an old caveman, saying, "Oh, they gotta go in that direction, blah, blah, blah." It's humor, but it's not super funny humor. It's very corny. So they head off into the woods on foot to find the comet. But instead, just like the farmer, they find the circus tent. Mike says, really on location for a show. Really, you know, you couldn't even follow the road there. Of course, it's going to be an odd location for a show. It's also in the middle of the woods, but that's besides the point, right? They find their way into the tent, though. Unlike the farmer, they actually found the entrance. It has a big opening now, just like your normal circus tent would. They're inside walking around. Debbie's very confused as to what it is. And Mike's all excited. He's trying to say that it's one of the European New Wave circus. That's what he's trying to explain, why it looks the way it looks. Then the line of, looks like it was decorated by Clown R Us. You know, ha ha, that's hilarious, pun. They travel into the end of the hallway and press a big random red button beside what looks like a door. You know, rule number one, don't press the red buttons. They press it anyways and they get sucked into the doorway. So, they come into this room though that has no floor. It's kind of like a Star Wars looking room. It's got a big giant ball of electricity in it. It looks like it's the heart of the tent, the spaceship. They end up leaving that room and enter into another room. They hear someone coming though, so they decide, oh, enter into yet again another room. This one has these cotton candy, like large punching bag cocoons hanging all over the place. Mike makes the comment of trying to be logical about it and saying this is what they do with the cotton candy. They let it hang like that and let it dry. Debbie's freaking out about it because she thinks it's really weird, because it is weird. Why would you hang large lumps of cotton candy on meat hooks?
This isn't what you think it is. Nobody stores cotton candy like this.
What are you talking about? Of course it is. Look.
I'm going to say they're meat hooks. They're not meat hooks, but just it looks like it would be a meat hook. Mike's still trying to explain it. So he goes and grabs a piece of the cotton candy, rips it off of the cocoon. Underneath it is the farmer. All you see is his face, all bloody, and he's clearly dead. And then we have another clown coming in, and he's bringing in another cotton candy cocoon. So clearly they're already getting people. I'm not sure if they... because they originally just land, but yet when we're inside, we already see a bunch of cocoons. I'm not sure they're from a different planet, because we only see them get the farmer first. Later on, we find out they got everyone at Makeout Point. But I don't think they would have got them yet, so I'm not really sure how that all plays together. They get freaked out by that. They then run out of the room, and they're being followed by the clown, who's shooting a gun at them. The gun shoots popcorn. It's a gun that shoots popcorn. And they ask, why popcorn? Because they're clowns, that's why.
Popcorn, why popcorn?
Because they're clowns, that's why.
They make it outside, and there's two clowns chasing them now at this point. They start running in the woods towards their SUV. This is a kind of creative and very unique special effect that they do in the movie. One of the clowns takes balloons, blows them up, and makes a hunting dog, a balloon animal hunting dog. I guess it's the proper way of saying it. But yeah, it's very unique. I would have never thought. It's just a very unique movie in general. But to make a hunting dog out of balloons, that's a point right there for me, to be honest with you. They make it back to the SUV, and they finally get in. They put it in reverse to get out, to drive back down the road because it's a dead end. They hit two of the clowns, and they kill the poor balloon dog. I'll let you give a moment for a little balloon puppy. That is when they then start to drive down the road, and their clown jumps on top of their car. He falls off, and then the clown sits back up. Kind of like if you're a wrestling fan, like The Undertaker used to do. Just kind of, you think he's down, you think he's out, but no, he just sits right back up. they're freaking out, of course. Debbie, of course, wants to go to the police station because that is the logical thing to do. But Mike, being in a horror movie, says, well, the police aren't going to believe us about killer clowns in the woods from outer space. Which is correct. They would not believe him. Nor would anyone ever believe him for that fact. But Debbie has a friend who works at the police station, who's actually police officer Dave, who's actually her ex. Dum, dum, dum. Drama. We now have a scene of the clowns slowly, super slowly, heading into towards town. They're following the road that Debbie and Mike went down. Yeah, it's a really slow scene, because later on in the movie we see how fast they are, or at least one of them is. Just, it's a slow, very methodical pacing, I guess. We then have Mike, who's pulling up to the police station. He's so frustrated and so freaked out that he, you know, decides, let's not hit the brakes and let's just use the ass end of this cop car to stop us. So they go in the police station. Officer Dave takes them in because he's, you know, he's got to take them in and sit them down because he's not believing what they're saying because they're all freaked out. They're talking too fast. Probably like I'm doing right at this exact moment, but that's besides the point. But yeah, they're all confusing him, and he wants to sit down with them to actually hear their story out better. We have a clown now who's walking down the street. He's coming up to the local drugstore, because it's a really small town, so I'm assuming they only have one drugstore. For whatever reason, I don't know why, it's not Halloween or anything, at least it doesn't seem like it's Halloween. This drugstore has a gorilla animatronic outside that's dressed in like a clown costume almost. The clown starts to mimic the motions of the gorilla because it's moving. I don't know, maybe back then there's animatronics sitting outside the stores, but nowadays you don't see that at all. So I don't know if that's a common thing back then or not, but it is what it is, I guess. Now let's head back to the police station where Debbie and Mike are telling Officer Dave about what's going on. As crazy as it is, Mooney overhears them and calls their bluff on it, saying how he was just up there and that there was nothing going on. He was just up at top of the world or whatever it's called, and there's nothing going on at all, and everything's fine. Mooney doesn't trust Mike though, because he knows who his friends are. Apparently Mooney hates the Terenzi brothers, and he knows that Mike's friends with them. And, yeah, that's enough for Mooney just to not like him. And the fact that he's supposed to be a college kid as well doesn't really help out the facts. So, Officer Dave does decide to go check it out, though, being the police officer that he is. He wants to, you know, double-check everything, and probably because, you know, it's his ex-girlfriend saying it, so he probably believes her a little bit. He decides to go check it out, but he will only check it out if he drops Debbie off at home, which kind of worries Mike. I know I'm getting a little ahead of myself, but I've watched the movie so many times that everything is just all there in my mind, so I can jump back and forth. Officer Dave, like I said, wants to drop Debbie off home, which freaks Mike out because Mike thinks Dave's going to shoot him in the woods, which, you know, in other movies, it probably would happen. Not gonna lie, probably would happen. Then we have another scene in town where there's a puppet show going on at a gazebo. It's, of course, the clown, one of the clowns doing a puppet show. We have a male puppet and a female hand puppet, and the male puppet's trying to get with the female. We have one guy show up to watch this puppet show. Oh, everyone, just one solo guy shows up. He's getting a laugh out because the female puppet ducks down, comes back up, and has a ray gun. Shoots the male puppet. Male puppet disappears. Good magic trick, huh? Until the killer clown then takes the place of the male puppet. The guy's a little bit confused, doesn't know what's really going on, doesn't know if he should be scared or not. Well, guess what? You should be scared because that clown shoots the guy with the laser gun, which they think... I don't think it's killing them. I think it's just It gets him in the cocoon. Yeah, he shoots him with the cotton candy gun. Which then just puts the guy in the cocoon, and then they take the cocoons all back to the tent later on. We're heading back to the drugstore now. We have that clown that was mimicking the grill outside, who's now inside. He's knocking everything over. He's just wrecking the place. Let's face it, he's just destroying it. There's cocoons, a couple cocoons just laying on the floor. So he's definitely putting some of the shoppers in cocoons as he goes. But he's definitely wrecking the place. The drugstore clerk is so scared and confused as to what's going on that he can't even mutter words. So he's trying to tell him not to do it, but his words are not coming out of his mouth at all. Now we're with Officer Dave in the police car. He's got Mike and Debbie with him. Debbie's sitting up front, of course. Mike's in the back seat, like a prisoner, pretty much, or inmate. This is when we find out a little bit more of Dave and Debbie's, past relationship, and they're talking about it, and pretty much acting like Mike isn't even in the back of the car. It's like Mike's not even there, which is kind of awkward, kind of weird. Dave, even to the point, Debbie wants to go with them to the forest to check out the tent to prove to Dave, but Dave doesn't want her coming at all, to the point where he threatens to put her in jail if she comes with them. So, of course, Debbie decides to go home just to be on the safe side. Well, not even the safe side, just to do what he says.
Hello, Freaks and Creeps. It's that time again where we help support some fellow horror content creators. First up, we have Diabolik DVD. Make sure to check out DiabolikDVD.com for all the new listings on horror DVDs and Blu-rays. Hell, there's even some titles there I've never heard of before. Great content, great customer service. You won't be let down. Next up, we have Graveyard Goods. Content created for the dead, by the dead. Don't be left to the dead. Right now in stock, they have some Hellraiser, Halloween 3, and Exorcism merch, such as sweaters, hats, and sweatpants. Definitely go check them out as well. Check out their newsletter, sign up, and don't be left for the dead. That's graveyardgoods.com. Until next time, we'll talk to you guys later.
Now we'll get back to our movie. Alright, back to the movie. Here comes a fun scene. It's definitely a parody or a throwback to the old pornos. I just entitled it as Pizza Porn Scene, because we have the typical scene of someone knocking at the door. Lovely young lady goes to answer said door, and there's just a couple of clowns standing there with a pizza box. Kind of different. Kind of unique, kind of funny, because the funny part is now, because with that pizza box, we then have the lid opening, and Shorty the clown comes out, and of course shoots the lovely young lady. So I thought that was kind of funny. There's also another scene of the clowns delivering chocolate to another lady, I believe. So just a couple of filler scenes of them slowly kidnapping people or killing them in the town, because in the cocoons, I'm assuming they're dead, and that's just a way of keeping them fresh for consumption. That's my guess. We are now back with Debbie getting dropped off at her home by Officer Dave and Mike. As I said earlier, Dave's scared shitless to go in the woods with Mike because he's afraid that Mike's going to shoot him. Debbie says she's going to follow them once they leave. She doesn't, though. I think she actually goes and takes a shower. But yeah, it's funny, though, when getting back into the police car, because Mike walks her up to her front door. Mike gets back in the back seat again. He doesn't bother getting in the front seat. So I thought that was kind of funny, even though there's no one else in the front seat. I'll just stay in the back seat. I'm fine. We then come back to the drugstore, which is a main focal point throughout the movie. There's more clowns in this grocery or drugstore now. They're just wrecking the place, destroying it, knocking everything over. One clown gets knocked on his ass. I'm pretty sure he gets shaving cream sprayed in his face, and apparently he does not like that at all. So, I thought that was kind of funny. We then have Officer Dave and Mike in the woods. They make it to the location where the tent was, but it's not there anymore. There's just a giant crater in the ground where the tent landed, but that's no big deal. That was probably always there, right? Dave kind of feels like he was being lied to, so he then puts Mike under arrest. Yeah. Because the tent's not there anymore. But, you know, minus the, you know, let's just ignore the big giant crater in the ground where all the trees are gone. It's no big deal. We then have a pretty enjoyable scene come up. It's a biker meetup in a, like a dark alleyway, and the short clown pulls up on his little kid's trike. There are bikers all laughing about, and then the main tough guy biker comes up, and you know he's asking the clown, "Can I ride your bike?" The clown's like, shakes his head no. "Well, can I honk your horn?" The clown's like, "Yeah, sure, go ahead, honk it." Biker picks it up, wrecks the bike. Bad move, buddy. Because the clown then pulls out boxing gloves, and biker doesn't think anything of it. He's like, "Well, what are you going to do? Knock my block off?" And then with one swift uppercut, the head is gone on that biker. And I think the one black biker is like, "Damn!
Jojo coming into town."
Watch this, baby.
Is that bike too big for you?
Hey, Cloudy!
Mean bike you got there.
Yeah.
Can I take a ride, pal?
Oh, come on. Let's take a ride.
Can I beep the horn?
Oh, thank you!
Should have let the man ride his bike. I'm sorry. I seem to have broken your bike. Where'd it go? Knock my block off.
Damn. I'm going to give it to it. It's enjoyable. It's a definitely enjoyable scene. So, it's then followed up by a creepy scene. Because we have one of the clowns outside the burger shop. He's sitting on top of what would be a little kid's ride. It's a little donkey that swings back and forth. This clown's got really John Wayne Gacy vibes coming off him. Because the whole time he's rocking back and forth, he's staring inside the burger shop at a little girl who's, I don't know, maybe 10, maybe a little older. I'm not good with ages. I'm a dad, but I'm not good with guessing kids' ages at all. He's, you know, doing the finger gestures for the kid to come outside. The whole time he's got a big giant circus sledgehammer behind him because he wants to, I guess, use her as a whack-a-mole test. The girls, you know, for whatever reason, big giant creepy clown on a donkey or something outside, calling you outside. She's like, "Yeah, sure, why not?" She makes it to the door. That's when the mom grabs her and tells her she can't go outside. The clown's literally like 2 feet outside the door. Mom doesn't look at it at all, doesn't make eye contact at all. Clown's probably like at least 6 feet tall. No big deal. Just ignore that clown. No big deal. I guess you're used to it. We then cut to Officer Dave and Mike on their way back. They are driving. I don't know if they're driving up to or if they're driving through it, but they land at Top of the World, the makeout point area. So unless Officer Dave had some other plans with Mike, I don't really know. He stops to check because he sees the trunks of the car is open, stuff on the ground. This is when Dave's looking around. He notices cotton candy residue on the cars. He opens up one car, sees glasses inside, and sees inside the car filled with just cotton candy. So he then pulls Mike out of the car and uncuffs him. Mike's scared shitless that he's going to get decked. And this is when Officer Dave finally starts believing the story that he was told earlier. And there might be some hope in it, I guess. Cut back to the police station where Mooney is sitting there reading a magazine. Someone calls in saying clowns are at our front door trying to get inside. He, of course, doesn't believe it. He's just, you know, saying it's the rich bastards trying to pull a prank on him. And then another call comes in, same issue. Another call. And then the drugstore clerk calls in with the same issue. Mooney's kind of surprised. He's like, the Trenzy brothers even got him in on the prank. Because he thinks that the whole time that's a prank, but it's really not. It's just, he's a grumpy old man. He doesn't believe these stories coming in. Which, you know, given that it's killer clowns, it's kind of hard to believe it in a way. But, you know, if you got X amount of people calling in with the same issue, then maybe you should probably believe it. He thinks it's just a whole scheme to get him out of town as in the police force. So, you know, he's definitely in his own head. We then have this quick scene. It's a car chase scene. Cars driving away and a clown's on a dragster, but it's not actually anything. It's just like riding the air. And this shows that the clowns aren't concerned with, you know, keeping everyone alive for food, because this clown rams the car off a bridge and we just see explosion and the clown's just, you know, happy as pie, just standing up there watching that guy burn to death. So it's got some dark scenes to it, I guess. Let's cut back to Debbie. She's back at home. She's getting ready to take a shower because she's got all that popcorn still on her. This is when we see a little bit more about the popcorn. It's not just a weapon. It slowly starts to move and come alive. We cut back because the scene's cut from one slot to one slot. Cuts back and forth a lot. So we're back to the burger joint. I think it's like Big Shot or Bigger Burger Big Shot or something along those lines. The name doesn't really matter, so I don't know why I'm trying to remember it. We have that creepy Wayne Gacy looking clown who's putting popcorn into the dumpsters of the burger joint. This builds a little bit on that, what's happening with Debbie, because the popcorn affects her as well. Apparently the popcorn comes alive, because when a guy is taking out the garbage of the burger shop place, I don't know why I'm calling it Burger Shot, because Burger Shot's GTA. I just want to call it Burger Shot, so we're going to call it Burger Shot. It's a burger joint. No? Who cares? The popcorn comes alive and creates some Beetlejuice-looking worm clown creature. It sucks the guy into the dumpster, and we're assuming he's dead. I'm going to assume it. Then we have, which is another, this movie has a lot of scenes that I enjoy a lot, and this is definitely one of them. We have one of the clowns putting on a shadow puppet show for a bunch of people at a bus stop. It's going great. He's making like a rowboat and he's making a bunch of animals and stuff, and the people are loving it for the most part. It starts out a little slow. They're kind of booing him a little bit, and then this clown makes a T-Rex. Which is awesome. You know, he's making a shadow T-Rex, which, you know, is great until the shadow T-Rex decides to eat everyone on the bus bench. And Officer Dave and Mike see it as they're driving back in town. Mike grabs the steering wheel and forces the police car towards the clown, which this part of the scene is really bad because the clown jumps out of the way, but they don't have enough in their budget to wreck this car because they need it later on. That the car just hits the sidewalk a little bit and just jumps the curve a little bit and doesn't damage anything. But yeah. Dave then tries to call into Mooney because that's the first time he's seen the clowns. And then Mooney doesn't believe him either. Mooney just thinks, like I said, oh, you're just trying to get me retired. You're trying to, this is just a big giant prank. You're in on it with all the other kids and everyone else in town. So Mooney's definitely, he's a hard ass. You gotta kind of like him. I think he's Canadian as well. I'd have to double check on that, but I'm pretty sure I read that he was from Saskatchewan, I believe. At this scene, they just, you know, Officer Dave and Mike are still on the sidewalk. We then see, we hear screaming actually, and it's girls running out of alley, and then we see the ice cream truck driving out of the alley, or going maybe reverse out of the alley, and the Trenzi brothers are chasing after it because they somehow lost their ice cream truck. Sure, I'm assuming they forgot to put the parking brake on or something. Not really sure. So Mike decides to run after them because he wants to go with them to try and rescue Debbie, while Officer Dave goes back to the police station to call in state troopers. Mike catches up to the Trenzi brothers and explains what's going on. They don't believe him either, which rightfully so, it's killer clowns. He convinces them to go check on Debbie because he tells them that Debbie has two roommates with giant boobs. That's all they need to go check them out. We're back at the police station with Mooney. He's just relaxing, having a cigar, I think. He's got his feet up, I think. I'm honestly not paying attention to the movie that's playing in the background now. I'm just focusing on my notes, so that's what I'm saying, I think. Phones are going off. Doesn't really care. Could care less about the phones going off. This is when I think the creepy clown from the burger spot comes in. Mooney, still not believing it, thinks it's a prank. Gets that classic water flower in the face trick. Mooney's not happy whatsoever, so he puts the clown under arrest. He thinks it's just a prank, of course. He goes to move the clown because the clown's handcuffed behind his back now. Goes to move the clown, and or tells the clown to move, and he's not moving. Mooney's not moving, and he's still holding on to the clown's hands. That's when the handcuffs pop off, and he just thinks it's a trick. You know, you're funny guy, huh? But the clown knows where he's going because he heads in the back door down to the holding cells, and he's standing there in front of the holding cells. That's when Officer Mooney goes to put him in the holding cell, and as the clown's walking in, he decides it's going to be like a good idea to bash this clown in the back of the head. It's not a smart idea because it just pisses the clown off. He quickly locks the door, but the clown has this kazoo looking thing. I'm not sure if that's the technical term of it or not. He blows into it. Maybe it's like a party whistler. I'm not too sure. It shoots out and grabs Mooney by the throat and then pulls him into the jail cell door, knocking him out. Then we have because the two guys from earlier are in that same cell, and they just look up at the clown saying, "What are you in for?" We then have Officer Dave, who shows up to the police station looking for Mooney. Mooney can't be found. Dave's looking around, and I don't know why, but in the police station now, the walls are a little bit different. They have like this color splattered on them now. Guess maybe the clowns are taking over kind of look to it. Goes down to the holding cells. The walls are coated with cotton candy. And then I believe an arm falls out of the wall, and Dave gets, you know, a little worried about it. He then heads back to the main part of the police station where Mooney should have been. And the creepy clown spins around on an office chair. The said creepy clown has Officer Mooney on his lap. This is where it gets a little weird. I'll let you guys decide. He's using Mooney as a hand puppet. Is the hand in the back, or is the hand up Mooney's ass? Don't really know. I'm going to say it's probably in the back. Let's just say it's in the back. Sounds a little bit better. Looks probably a little bit nicer. But the clown uses Mooney to talk as well in this scene. I believe Mooney says something along the lines, "Don't worry, Dave. All I want to do is kill you off."
Hey, Dan. Who was the lady I saw you with last night?
Don't worry, Dave. All we want to do is kill you.
Dave, getting scared, he starts to unload bullets into the clown. Clown keeps coming out until he hits that big red honker of a nose. That's apparently the clown's one weakness. If you pop that nose, the clowns are dead. So, kind of interesting. You know, the biggest target on their face is their one weakness. So, definitely, you got to give the clowns a weakness somewhere. So, I guess that one makes the most sense. Let's cut back to Mike and the brothers driving around in their ice cream truck using the loudspeaker system to call out the clowns. They don't believe him because they're driving up and down the streets. Nothing's happening. Until they turn down this one street and we find a small army of clowns walking. They got this vehicle that's kind of like a whole parade setup. Got this vehicle with a giant vacuum on the front of it. We see a bunch of clowns up in apartment buildings and stuff, and they're throwing cocoons out the windows. I'm assuming this vehicle is sucking them all up, and they're going, like, building the building to take everyone out of town. That's when the brothers finally, you know, realize, oh, shit, you are telling the truth. There's killer clowns trying to kill us. So we then cut back to Debbie, who's finally dressed out of her shower. She's opening up her clothes hamper, and that's when the popcorn inside of it has grown to these clown worm creatures that start attacking her, and then they start popping out everywhere. They pop out of her medicine cabinet. Even one of them pops out the toilet, which reminds me a lot of Ghoulies when the monster comes out of the toilet. So I'm not sure. I think this probably came before Ghoulies, so maybe Ghoulies was a reference to this. I'm not too sure. I'll have to double check on that one. She's getting all scared. She runs out. She hears a knock at one of the doors. And it's Mike's voice saying, asking Debbie to open up. She, of course, thinks it's him. Upon opening the door, though, it's actually a clown using Mike's voice. So apparently they have the power to take people's voices and just use them, which, you know, adds a more character aspect to these clowns. She runs upstairs and goes to jump out of a window. It's the typical cartoon scene where she's at the window looking out, looking down, and the clowns are just down at the bottom of the ground holding a trampoline waiting for her to jump. It's a fun scene. It's definitely fun. It's definitely like a throwback. Meet her in that room, and they knock her out, and then they put her in a balloon. So the balloons are different because you're still alive inside the balloon. So I'm not sure the point of keeping her alive other than because, you know, you gotta keep the one last female alive in the story, I guess. So upon being stuck into this balloon, the clowns tie her to the back of a clown car, and that's how they escape with her. The boys are now getting to Debbie's house. They see that she's inside this big yellow balloon that's being tied to the back of a back to the car. So of course they start chasing after it. They're driving down the street chasing it, and then they drive by Officer Dave, who then follows them, turns on the lights and sirens. For a reason, the one brother yells stop when they're going around a corner and grabs the steering wheel. They stop the ice cream truck, which then causes Dave to crash into the back of the ice cream truck because the one brother is worried about getting a ticket. Yeah, because that's your main worry when clowns are killing everyone off, is worrying about getting a ticket. We then have the clown car showing up to the amusement park that's in town. Apparently, they have an amusement park set up, so I guess that builds a little bit to why people weren't so shocked at the clowns, I guess, because there is an amusement park set up, but it's closed at the moment. So in front of this amusement park that they do show up, just the big main tent is what they're heading to. There's a security guard. I guess security guards are just common at circus tents to make sure no one goes inside, I guess. I've never been a security guard. And I never tried to go to a circus tent after hours, so I wouldn't really know. He asks, tells them they have to leave. This car, though, is super tiny. And then I think 5 or 6 clowns unload out of this tiny car. They're all holding pies, which is a very cool aspect to this. Because what these pies do, they unload the pies onto the security guard. More than 5. Because the pies just keep coming and coming and coming and coming. To the point where these pies apparently melt human flesh. Because then the security guard is just a pile of pies and skeleton bones. Just all he is, just a pile. Then I think it's Shorty that then puts a cherry on top to, you know, add that little extra effect to that pie, the pie filling. So the guys finally make it to the amusement park just behind the clowns. They notice the Debbie's not in the bloom behind the car anymore, so they go inside the tent. One of the Trenzy brothers is checking out what used to be the security guard, and they're curious about it. And then I think it's Dave points out that there's, you know, don't mind the skeleton hand just hanging out of this pie filling. Trying to explain, they're also wondering why the clowns are here. And one of the Trenzy brothers also says, well, maybe they're cruising the galaxy and just stop for a bite to eat. Yeah, of course, that's what they did. They just stopped to get a bite to eat. Now they're really hungry. They got the munchies, and they're going to eat everyone on the planet. You dumbass. So they're inside the tent. For whatever reason, one of the brothers presses a big giant red button on the side of the wall, which then shoots air out of the force. Dave yells at them to, you know, stop touching shit, pretty much, because you never know what's going to happen. Later on, like a minute later, they fall through the floor and land into a giant ball pit. While they're in the ball pit trying to reach the top of it, there's 2 female clowns sitting on the edge of it who have boobs that inflate. And of course, the one brother says, are you Debbie's roommates?
All right, now look, you guys, stay together. I don't have to run around and find you, too.
No problem. We can handle it.
Where'd they go? Come on, Rich. Paul.
Hey, look, don't worry about the Trenzy brothers. They do this all the time. Yeah. Those guys are like cats. They always land on their feet. Are you Debbie's roommate?
At this point, Mike then realizes they are now in the original tent that they saw from earlier in the woods. Mike and Dave make it to the cocoon room, trying to find Debbie. Of course, they're not worried about the rest of the town that are all kidnapped. Debbie's the main focus. Screw everyone else in the town. Let's just worry about the one girl. That's the only person we care about. And then I believe it's Fatso the clown that comes in. He's going up to a cocoon and he's checking it, like he's pressing it, he sniffs it a little bit, he's checking to see if it's ripe. So I'm assuming these cocoons, they keep the person fresh, because he takes out this extremely, extremely long, twisty, twirly straw and pokes it into the cocoon and pretty much sucks the blood, I'm assuming, out of it. It's a reddish liquid, so I'm going to say it's blood, unless it's the color of the pink cotton candy mixing in with it. But he's sucking it dry. He takes every last bit of it. Mike and Dave then finally find Debbie's balloon. They're punching it, trying to get her out. Nothing happens until Dave shoots at the balloon. It pops it. You know, good thing it didn't kill her, but that's besides the point. It's weird though, at this point, she's so happy to be rescued, but the only person she's cared about and like hugging is Officer Dave. It seems like Mike is like a second thought to everything, so I'm not sure which more happens later on, but it's definitely really weird in that sense. It's seems like Officer Dave and Debbie have a closer bond than, you know, the guy she was making out with at Top of the World makeout point. Dave wants to stay and try and rescue more people. He makes a line of it just for 2 seconds, and then more clowns show up, and then he's like, nah, you know what, never mind. Let's just get out of here. Let's leave everyone. They can all, you know, hopefully rescue themselves. And, yeah, I'm saving myself and you guys, and let's get out of here. They reach the end of a hallway because they're running away. They have to use a fire pole to slide down to another floor. They stop before going all the way down because there's another monster of some sort attached to the end of that fire pole. They then just keep running through hallways. They run into the mouth of an anglerfish. Then they run, I think the anglerfish has a hallway that's full of just a bunch of balloons. But you can also hear, like, these might be the baby popcorn clown monsters in the background. They then run out of the back, which is another anglerfish head. They keep running till they come to a door, which then behind is another door and another door. And each time he opens the door keeps getting smaller and smaller and smaller.
Shit, another door!
Come on, Mike!
Another door! Another door!
Hurry!
Debbie, come on!
Which I thought was kind of odd. You know, it's a funhouse addict effect, so. They finally make it through the tiny door, which is like, it's just a step or two above a doggy door, if you have a good-sized doggy door. They enter this big open space room, not sure what to do, where to go. And then all these clowns just start coming out of every single direction, like cockroaches out of every little crack. They have to climb up on top of these structures that are inside this room. That's when then the brothers come crashing through the wall with the ice cream truck. We have a scene, we see them inside the truck, and they're covered in makeup. Their clothes are wrecked, ripped apart. So either they had to fight for their life against the female clowns, or they had some wild, crazy clown sex. I'll leave that up to you guys to decide which one happened. Not really sure. The Trenzy brothers then used the loudspeaker to talk to the other clowns and act as if they're the god of clowns. The clowns are all like kind of starstruck and confused, so they make it back, or Dave, Mike, and Debbie make it off of the structure that they're on and make it over to the ice cream truck, and they want to get ready to escape. This is then where the lights start flickering at the top, and all the other clowns start looking up. Everyone else looks up, and they're kind of like shocked and a little bit worried. And this is when we have the introduction of what most people call, he's got an official name, but most people call him Clownzilla because he's bigger than any other clown. He's bigger than the ice cream truck itself. Clownzilla gets lowered from the ceiling, and he's on string setups for like a dummy of sorts, and he gets all pissed off and breaks off the strings. He runs over to the ice cream truck, starts smashing it. He then picks it up and tosses it. The truck slides on its side a bit, hits the wall of the tent, and then blows up. The only people inside the truck at this point, because everyone else runs away, is the Trenzy brothers, because they don't want to leave it, because apparently they're renting it out or leasing it out, so they don't want to leave the truck and lose out on that money. But this opens up the wall, which allows for a getaway area. Officer Dave then tells Mike and Debbie to run for it, and he's going to hold Clownzilla back with all he has is this little tiny pistol. Of course that's going to, you know, save the day. For whatever reason, Clownzilla being bigger, should have a bigger nose, Dave can't hit it for shit. Just keeps unloading bullets into it, to the point where Clownzilla grabs Dave and picks him up. At this point, the tent's starting to spin, is starting to lift out of the ground. The state troopers show up and watch on. Debbie and Mike are outside already. They escaped outside. Officer Davis, of course, in the grasp of this clownzilla. He then has enough strength, I guess, or will, to grab his police badge off his chest, and he pokes the clown in the nose. Pop goes that nose, and goodbye goes the clown and the whole tent all together. Everyone looks on in shock. This is then when the clown car from earlier drops out of the sky and lands in front of Debbie and Mike and the state troopers. The door opens, and then Dave exits out of the clown car, followed by the Trenzy brothers. Wait, weren't they dead in the ice cream truck? No, apparently not. Apparently, I don't know what logic this is, but they said they hid in the freezer, the ice cream freezer, and avoid the explosion. It must be a really strong ice cream freezer, but that's besides the point. So they're all reunited, and we have Dave and Debbie and Mike standing there, and Dave's behind Debbie, which is kind of weird. He's got his hands on her shoulders, and he's kissing her on the back of the head. And it's like those two are the couple, and Mike's just the third wheel. So the love triangle thing is really weird. Not sure if Debbie and Mike are together. Not sure if Debbie and Dave are getting back together, but who cares? That's just, you know, whatever it is, what it is. And to end off the movie, they ask or wonder if, you know, if that's going to be it, if that's going to be everything. And then slime falls out of the skies and coats them. It's, you know, clown guts or, I don't know, cotton candy slime of some sort. And that ends the movie. I just want to say thank you to everyone who's made it this far. I appreciate it. Hopefully you guys enjoyed the episode. It was a lot of fun for me to do. Definitely one of the cult favorites of mine. Hopefully if you guys haven't seen the movie before, maybe my review will make you go out and see it. Or if not, maybe you'll just scratch it off your watch list altogether. Either way, hopefully you enjoyed it, and I appreciate the support 100%. You guys don't understand how much I appreciate the support. Got a lot of good feedback on the Maximum Overdrive episode, so I'm really happy about that. Our next episode, we will be discussing The People Under the Stairs. It's been a while since I watched this movie, and from what I remember, it's really entertaining and really fucked up at the same point. So, yeah, next week we'll be watching The People Under the Stairs, so that should be a good one. Also, another couple free plugs that I want to give, or shout-outs. With this recording, definitely go check out Cavity Colors. They just launched the Killer Clowns merch that they've been working on, so I think there's like 4 or 5 designs for that, which all the designs look killer, so pun included. Definitely go check them out. As well, check out Eerie Candle Co. They actually have a series of Killer Clown candles, which kind of cool. Kind of curious what the scents are. I haven't looked too far into it, but yeah, definitely go check them out. I'm always here to support fellow horror content creators, so they do the same for me, so I always want to give the support back.
So until next time, I will talk to you guys all later. Peace.